You are about to enjoy a production of the Ella Wellness Network. This is Wellness Fixes the Pod. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, and I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to the Wellness Sisterhood. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time. It's exciting. If you've clicked on this episode, I have a feeling you already know my big announcement, but I am starting a podcast associated with my company, Ella Wellness. So welcome to the Wellness Pixis Pod, where we talk all things wellness, where we share advice from one wellness big sister to another to make the world a world full of wellness big sisters, helping each other out, learning about our bodies, moving in a way that feels good, fueling ourselves in a way that feels good, and keeping our minds healthy for life, right? So I figured this first episode, I just want to get a little bit of an introduction on what our goals are here, who I am, my background, a little bit of a virtual sort of meet and greet, if you will. And then the rest will be just a lot of fun wellness-based things, health, movement, founders' stories, again, because I'm building this business from the ground up. So I love listening to other people's founders' stories. So I figured that would also be a fun thing to do. So we'll get right into it. But my name is Kelsey. I am a board-certified doctor of physical therapy and orthopedics, and then also a pelvic floor physical therapist, and then the owner of a physical therapy practice, and then also the owner of Ella Wellness, which is my digital wellness sisterhood, and really the inspiration for this podcast. So it includes workouts, mindfulness sessions, meditation sessions, breath work, fueling strategies, and what I like to call wellness girl chats, where we talk all things and sort of debunk all of the myths surrounding our female bodies, right? So if you're like me, all of your social media is about snatching your waist and the right exercises to get the body that you want. Gut health, like the one thing to help with your gut health, all of these sort of clickbaity things. And my goal is to really debunk all of those for us from a science-backed and truth-backed perspective. So that's what I like to call these wellness girl chats. And again, I really feel like knowledge is power, right? Like knowledge helps us to learn things about our body and then utilize it and be our own advocates when it comes to our health and wellness, right? Where we can be empowered in our own bodies and not feel lost or just unguided, right? So that's my goal for this podcast. Again, be a wellness big sister to share it with other wellness big sisters and then create this whole sisterhood where we're more empowered, more confident in our bodies and in who we are and how we take care of our bodies. So a little bit about what kind of got me into this. Again, I'm a doctor of physical therapy. That's my degree. That's my background. But before that, let's start in college, basically, because I feel like that's where the sort of impetus for all of this began. I went to UT Austin, go Longhorns, hook 'em horns always. But I knew I wanted to be a physical therapist early on. So I was an exercise science major in college. And when I transitioned from high school to college, I was so super duper scared of gaining the freshman 15, gaining weight. I was an athlete in high school and before, right? So I knew the importance of movement and fueling myself, but I had never really had to think about it before. And so I did what everyone does, right? I researched all of it. I was like, okay, let me get the MyFitnessPal app to track my calories. Let me get the best workouts for myself. Let me eat in the healthiest way possible. All of this was what I was trying to sort of research and figure out for myself. Unfortunately, I found it from all the wrong sources. So I turned towards social media. I read a blog post that said for my weight and my goal of maintenance that I needed 1200 calories a day, which again is far too low for me, my size, my goals, and my exercise habits. So I was working out crazy. I was eating so low of calories and not getting the energy that I needed to fuel my workouts. I was eating like, I remember going to the dorm cafeteria freshman year and getting like grilled chicken, a little applesauce, and then like something else. And then I literally would measure out the trail mix that I had as a snack. It was like 3 tablespoons. And I remember the calories and all of this. So I was really trying to track and I got obsessive about tracking. So while I was struggling with all of this sort of nutrition stuff and eating those 1200 calories, working out, all of this, I was going to school in an exercise science kinesiology degree to learn about my body and learn how to take care of my body, especially in regards to movement. Not as much of the nutrition side, although we do cover that, it was primarily in regards to movement. So throughout college, I was the one experimenting with all of these sorts of workouts and exercise routines that we were talking about. I was doing hill sprints, I was doing long runs, I was doing strength training, I was experimenting with my body in regards to movement, although I wasn't fueling myself properly on the other side of that. So in my head, I was like, wow, I'm doing super well. I'm crushing it, right? Turns out I was not. I ended up realizing over time, and as I got to more and more classes, that I was like, this is not sustainable. I'm working out super hard, but I'm not fueling myself properly. It was just fighting each other, right? And then I learned the true science behind fat loss, behind toning, behind body composition changes, behind all of these things that we have these confusing questions on, right? So I started to sort of hone in on different things that would help me and that would actually get me to the goals that I wanted, right? And so throughout undergraduate, it was this experimentation process. It was trying to get out of this sort of restrictive and limited mindset with those 1200 calories especially, but then also I was still in that mindset of, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, I have to work it off after, or a little chocolate, dark chocolate's like my absolute weakness, but a little dark chocolate, I have to work it off after. There were all of these little things that just, I had to sort of reverse my mindset around in order to healthily reach the goals that I wanted to reach, right? So I started setting up these solid routines in college, which I feel like college, as wrong as I was about some things, I feel like it was the time period for me where I really helped solidify my current health and wellness routines, right? Because college was that first experience where I was really on my own. It was up to me to go to class, to eat, to exercise, to hang out with friends, to develop some sort of social life. And so as I was going through all the wrong things with my nutrition and some of my health and wellness and movement routines, I was also proud of myself. Like looking back, I was also proud of myself for being so diligent in creating those routines. So as I was, again, going through exercises and movements and nutrition stuff, I was also trying these routines and being disciplined in my want and my desire for a healthy lifestyle. So college was really the time where I sort of created a health and wellness routine for myself. No matter if it was wrong or right, it was really where that routine started for me. And then as I got into PT school, it was where that routine consisted, right? Because, and persisted, because PT school is very different. Grad school is very different than undergrad. Undergrad, you're usually going to class like 2 or 3 times a day for 1 hour to 2 hours to 3 hours, depending on a lab, right? And so I had time to sprinkle in a workout elsewhere, but I was being diligent. If a workout was planned that day, I was going to do it, right? I kept that promise to myself and built up that discipline. Because grad school and a lot of the grad schools that I've heard of, and PT school especially, it was 8 to 5, right? Just like a normal job. It was like you go to school at 8, you lunch 12 to 1, and then you go home at 5. And again, oftentimes you're doing more homework. So having that routine set in college had really helped me to stay true to myself and stay true to that discipline when my schedule got a lot more restricted on when I could work out. So as wrong as I was doing things on the nutrition front, I was doing something right in regards to building that routine. So that's really why I started LO Wellness, was because I felt like college, I was so misguided in where I was getting information from, who I was getting information from, the information I was consuming, that I wanted to create a resource to help girls build those routines in their 20s, teens, 20s, 30s, so that for the rest of their life, they can really be empowered in their own health and wellness, right? So I wanted to be that guide that I wish I had in college, right? And no matter when you're going through this journey, it can be in your mid-20s, it could be your late 20s, it could be 30, whatever, high school, whatever, when you're really trying to set yourself up for success. So I wanted to create a resource that was this guide for my old self, right? Something that I wish that I had in regards to movement, workouts, mindfulness routines, fueling strategies that would help me actually get the fuel and get the nutrients I needed in a healthy way. And then also learning about my body, because I really do feel like the education I received in my undergraduate program, and then especially in grad school, when you dive even deeper into the human body, anatomy, physiology, like all of the systems, that's really where I realized, like, oh, I know this about my body, therefore this. Like, I could make these choices and these decisions in a much better way and in a much more healthy way for myself. So that's my goal with the Wellness Big Sis Pod, is to basically share this information, chat about this information, just create this sort of learning environment where we can fully dive into our bodies, learn about them, learn about all of the environmental circumstances that can affect our bodies, whether that be mental health, financial health, even like business, creativity, like all of these other adjacent things to wellness besides just our physical health in regards to movement and nutrition. So that's sort of the overarching theme, the overarching why, where I've come from. I also thought I'd share one of my sort of life manifestos that has really helped me create that consistency for life, right? It's something that I consistently return to when I'm struggling with my own health and my own wellness in order to give myself grace, but in order to also realize when I'm having a hard day and just being lazy. It's something that I come back to remind myself why I do what I do, why I do a workout in a certain way, why I fuel myself in a certain way, why I perform this breathwork strategy in a certain way, like all of these things. It sort of has this overarching theme, and it can all kind of come back to this overarching theme and sort of manifesto that I have for my own life in regards to my wellness. And I thought that I'd share it with you because it's really helped me. And if it can even help one person, that's my hope, right? So I like to call it, and I haven't found a better name for it, but I call it the longevity fund. And what I look at it as is any sort of healthy or wellness habit that you do each and every day. That can be drinking water, that can be a workout, that can be making a healthy fueling choice, that can be sauna, cold plunge, that can be breathwork practice, meditation practice, anything at all. That can be going on a walk, getting 10,000 steps a day, even though, you know, that number is like arbitrary pretty much, but reaching a certain goal for yourself each day. All of those little habits are deposits into our longevity funds, right? So each and every workout that I do, each and every healthy choice that I make throughout the day, each and every sip of water, it's all little deposits into that longevity fund. And the way that I look at it is my job, I see patients every day who have movement taken away from them for some reason or another, right? Whether it's a spinal cord injury, a traumatic car accident, a stroke, brain injury, like anything can happen, a pain. It could just be something as simple as pain or an ACL tear, like some sporting injury, whatever it is. I see patients every day where movement is taken away from them. And again, as a movement specialist, as a physical therapist, I'm coming from more the movement standpoint, but I've seen it apply to other aspects of life, right? There's people from a nutrition aspect that can't eat the certain foods they have because they do not have a way to digest the food, right? They have an ostomy bag or, you know, whatever sort of impairment in their digestive system that doesn't allow them to eat the foods that might fuel their body in the best way because they can't necessarily digest them anymore. Whatever it is, movement, nutrition, fueling, brain health, like any of that, mental health even, where people are in severe states of depression or anxiety where they can't function in the optimal way because of how their body is reacting to something. Again, whether that's an injury, just some sort of sickness or illness, anything like that. So I see patients every day like that, where those things are taken away. And for me, that in itself creates its own motivation. And the patients that I've seen do super well when it comes to a movement standpoint have these super deep longevity funds that they've built up over life. For example, I have a lot of patients who have low back pain, right? And the patients that do the best, that recover the best, that heal the best, have fitness as a sort of pillar in their life. They eat healthy, they drink water, they perform meditation, mindfulness, breathwork practices in some way, prayer, whatever that might be. They have these sort of well-rounded longevity funds so that when they go through this sort of injury, illness, trauma in their life, they're able to rely on that longevity fund that they've built up over time, right? So they're able to pull from these reserves that they have, almost like an emergency fund, an emergency savings fund, right? But in regards to movement and our health and wellness. So I look at it each and every day as, where do I want my life to be when I'm 75, 80 years old, right? What do I want to do? What do I want to be able to do with my grandkids, great grandkids, you know, kiddos, whatever, right? How do I want to function? How do I want to interact with the world? For me, that means I would like to be able to ski, play beach volleyball, swim, like pick up my grandkids, be able to sit with them on the ground, all of these things, which includes movement, right? I want to be able to hug them. I want to be able to kiss the people that I love, my family members, all of these things. And that all relies on movement. And so if I can build up that longevity fund over time, over my entire life, we are inevitably going to experience hardships, pain, loss, illness, disease, anything like that. But if I have this built up longevity fund, I can pull from those resources and give myself grace that I can't do movement in the same way, or heaven forbid I get in a car accident, have a spinal cord injury, something along those lines that requires me to pull from the other aspects of that longevity fund. And in my head, if that ever sort of happens to us, again, bad things are going to happen, negative things are going to happen, but I will be better prepared for those things, knowing that I've set myself up, I've deposited those little daily habits into that longevity fund over time. And looking back, should I have movement taken away, fueling taken away for whatever reason, I'll know that I have put as much effort and the best effort that I can into that fund, and that I used my body, I used my mind, I used the ability to fuel myself in the best way possible. You know, looking back, whatever movement's taken away, I'll know that, hey, I loved my body in the way that I was able to love it, through movement, through healthy fueling patterns, through water, whatever it is, right? I was able to show my body that amount of gratitude when I could move in that certain way. And again, I always come back to movement, because movement is just where I thrive and where I feel like I interact with the world in the best way possible. Hugging and kissing my spouse, you know, laughing with my sisters, like being able to wave and give kisses and like air kisses, blow kisses to my nieces and nephews. All of these things involve movement. So for me, this longevity fund is sort of how I view my deeper why behind health and wellness choices. Because again, I'm a little biased, but I see people every day where that's taken away from them. And so knowing that I am only adding to that longevity fund to set myself up for success, to heal better later on, no matter what, you know, physical, mental, psychosocial, like psychosomatic attack, neurological attack that I might have on my body for whatever reason, I'm better able to combat that. And I'll reminisce over the time and look back on the time, like, thank goodness I put in all of those daily habits into that longevity fund so that I could recover, so that I could heal, so that I could be resilient in whatever I face, right? So that's sort of one of my major life manifestos, but especially in regards to health and wellness, that I hope sort of inspires you. Again, I think finding that deeper why, that deeper purpose, because there are going to be some days where you do not want to exercise. Believe me, there are plenty of days, and there's some days where you shouldn't, right? Where you're battling a sickness or an injury or something like that. But having this sort of deeper meaning other than aesthetics, because of course I have aesthetic goals. Of course I have body composition goals. Of course I feel better when I eat better. Like all of these things are great, but having something that's a little bit deeper, like that deeper meaning behind why I do things, especially in regards to health and wellness and mental well-being, all of those things, it's super duper helped me to stay consistent throughout whatever schedule I have in my life, right? Whether that's undergrad, where you're going to school a lot less than what you're studying at home, and you usually have that freedom and that time to go do a workout or whatever, compared to working or grad school or whatever, motherhood, like whatever it might be, where your schedule's a little more restrictive, but you've already set up those great patterns and you already have that deeper why behind why you put in the effort and why you do what you do in order to be a better human, be a better person, be a better person for yourself, be more confident, and just love yourself so that you can love others better too, right? So it all sort of, for me, comes back to this longevity fund. And again, something that I hope inspires you guys, and maybe you can create that as your own deeper why, but maybe it'll kickstart a deeper why for you guys who might not have that deeper meaning or that consistency that you want in regards to your health and wellness. And again, it allows you to give yourself grace, because when I am like going through a mental health crisis or have an injury or something like that, I know that I'll be fine, right? I don't have to beat myself up about missing a workout when I have that, because I'm like, no, you know what? I have a good longevity fund built up. Like, I can pull from that when I need to and then replenish after I heal, right? So all of that to say, I hope this inspires you. I hope you join me along for the Wellness Big Sis, the pod. I'm super duper excited. We're going to cover topics like toning, body composition changes, gut health, founders episodes, again, as I build sort of Ella Wellness and all that goes into it, sisterhood chats, wellness girl chats, like all of these things. So I'm super excited. Thank you for following along for this first podcast. I want to end on a little bit of a parasympathetic rest, digest, recover, reset, especially because I know if you're like me, a lot of these podcasts I listen to on the road, stressful situations, I am like so guilty of road rage, on the treadmill, something like that. But I invite you to close your eyes with me. Inhale really deeply. Don't let it go. Inhale again, and then exhale all the way out. Good. Keep those eyes closed. Inhale. Inhale one more time on top of that, a quick sharp inhale, exhale all the way out. So I'll end with this, a quick little physiological sigh is what we call it, breath work, that can help decrease stress levels. So I know when I've had live events, when I've been nervous for practicals or different things like that, different sort of real life scenarios, I always return to this breath work to help sort of physiologically cue my body to decrease all the responses that are related to heightened stress. So use that today in your daily life. Use it now, especially as you're on your way to work, exercising, listening while you're doing laundry, whatever it is. But thank you guys for listening to the first episode of the Wellness Big Sis, the pod. And I'll see you guys again in the studio for the next episode.